Now we're joined by Dr. Saul Wiener. His book is On Becoming a Healer, The Journey from Patient Care to Caring About Your Patients. Medical students and physicians in training embark on a long journey, as we know, that although steeped in scientific learning and technical skill building, includes precious little guidance on the emotional and interpersonal dimensions of becoming a healer. And Dr. Wiener, right now in these times in particular, the bedside manner is probably most important. But why is this aspect of medicine often neglected?
Well, thank you for the question. That was kind of the focus of the book. I think there are a lot of things that are terrific about American medical education, and I'll start with that before I qualify it. You know, it is very focused on the scientific basis for what we do, and that's good. But part of the problem with the way physicians are trained is that it's so focused on learning to complete tasks efficiently and rapidly and to move on that it starts to have, I think, an insidious effect, starting even before you get to medical school as a pre-med, when you take all those courses that thin people out, you know, the organic chemistry and the physics and all those courses that pre-meds have to take, and most end up dropping out or not moving on to medical school. And then once they get into medical school, it's multiple-choice test after multiple-choice test, and it almost becomes a thing in itself. You know, what gets lost in all that is that ultimately you need to be present for people who are suffering, who are frightened, and you need to know how to engage. You need to know how to deal with strong emotions in the healthcare environment. And unfortunately, the way we train physicians, I think in some ways, almost pushes them in the wrong direction.
You note that interns often work 100 hours a week. That's not an exaggeration, is it?
Well, you know, yes and no. When I was training, which was almost a quarter century ago, we did work 100 more hours a week. There are new laws now that limit interns to 80 hours a week, which at the time seemed like, you know, a holiday. And so it has improved. But remember, those are 80 hours, and that's still two times a normal week work week, and those are not easy hours. It's often, you know, 36 hours on your feet under enormous stress.
Well, what does that do? And 80 hours, that's in a 168-hour week. So it's half your week you're working and doing so under extremely stressful conditions. What does that do as far as preparing medical professionals?
Well, I think it does some good things and some bad things. And I'll start with the good. I think it does train you to put one foot in front of the other. It's kind of like doing basic training in the military. You know, and I think we're seeing that now with COVID. I mean, doctors do know how to show up and just keep on trucking. And there's a real value in that. But that's not the whole story of what we need in physicians. I think ultimately physicians, even before COVID, were burning out. You know, burnout has been at about 50% among physicians, which is basically a form of depression. And I think a lot of it has to do with just not knowing how to engage. You know, they're with a you know, if you're in your office seeing patients all day, one after another, and you're just basically interacting with the computer and, you know, typing in labs and asking routine questions and checking boxes and then moving on to the next person, you may develop a kind of style, a persona, a way of, you know, kind of talking small talk and so forth, but that's not really connecting with people. And, you know, people who are sick and are suffering need that connection, and I think doctors need human connection as well. And I think that's something that is not reinforced and in many ways is diminished during training.
You have several outstanding quotes in the book, and one is, the most compelling way to show you care is to ask questions.
Yeah, and I had a mentor who said that. He was a family physician about 30 years ahead of me, and it was so profound because, you know, when we think of caring, we tend to think of, I don't know, giving people a hug or, you know, being very empathic and so forth. But really, when you really care about somebody, you want to find out, what can I do to really help this person? And what's that going to, if that's your primary goal, you're going to be asking questions. You're going to be saying, you know, why is it that you're having trouble taking your medications? You know, why is it that you've, you know, just been having difficulty making it to appointments? The kinds of things, instead of just lecturing people and saying, you know, you need to do a better job with this, you need to do a better job with that, or this could kill you if you don't stop smoking. Uh-huh. Instead, it's about finding out, you know, what's going on with that person. And I think that's what caring is.
Now, most of these quotes are from one gentleman. There must be a story behind that story.
Well, yeah, Simon was a family physician, as I said, I thought of him. He was actually my godfather. So when I was born, I was very fortunate that my parents assigned him as a kind of godfather to me. But we really started to connect when I started medical school. You know, as I said, he was a family doctor and also an educator. And that was so important because during those years, I was struggling. I wasn't a particularly good student. I had dyslexia. And so I was just trying to not flunk out. And you know, and then on top of that, you kind of got kudos just for getting high marks on tests and for, you know, looking impressive on rounds and being efficient. And, you know, my godfather kind of reminded me, you know, as a family doctor that that's not really ultimately what's going to matter. What's going to matter is, of course, you need to have a foundation of knowledge and you have to have that's critical. But you also have to be somebody who cares, who forms human relationships with patients that are truly engaged. You don't hold them at arm's length when they're upset or when they're angry or when they're sad. And that's going to be important for you as well as them.
The book is On Becoming a Healer from Dr. Saul Wiener. He is professor of medicine, pediatrics, medical education at the University of Illinois, Chicago, and the deputy director of the Veterans Health Administration Center of Innovation for Complex Chronic Healthcare. Now, in this time, as we know, these medical professionals are true heroes and are literally putting their lives on the line. But there is enormous stress, and right now we don't know how long this is going to last. How do you see it with the economy opening up some, and by virtue we're going to have more cases most likely than we have in the last few weeks? What will that do to the medical conditions and the people who treat patients?
Well, you know, I tend to agree with you that we're not seeing the end of the tunnel at this point. We knew, you know, this is going to go on for a while. And I think physicians and nurses and everybody else who's taking care of patients is going to be in this for a while. And, you know, the question, of course, is how is that going to impact people? We're already seeing how difficult it's been. Like I said, I think physicians are very good at putting one foot in front of the other, and that is serving them well in this environment. You know, just keep on going. They've also been extremely good at kind of rapidly reorganizing healthcare. But having relationships with the people you care for, having human connections, is ultimately, like all human endeavor, critical to feeling nourished. And, you know, how that happens in the era of COVID is still a challenge. I mean, I take care of patients, and, you know, you're wearing a mask and you've got gloves on and layers of protection. And, you know, how do you stay connected? Also, when you're fearful of the of your own life, it's an unknown, it's uncharted territory.
Well, thank you, Dr. Saul Wiener. Remember the book, On Becoming a Healer. It's been a pleasure, and keep up your good work. Pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Over the weekend, we lost Little Richard, 87 years old, bone cancer. Today in the New York Times, the story about him, wild and outrageous, don't begin to describe Little Richard. He hit American pop like a fireball in the mid-1950s, a hopped-up emissary from cultures that mainstream America barely knew. Drawing on the sacred and the profane, the spiritual and the carnal, he had deep experience in the sanctified church and in the Chitlin circuit of African-American clubs and theaters, along with drag shows, strip joints, and even in the 20th century minstrel shows. He had a voice that could match the grit of any soul shouter ever, along with an androgynous, exultant falsetto scream that pushed it into overdrive. And signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Thank you for listening. We're back tomorrow. Stay tuned.